This is a recording of the Kevin Neuendorf conference call at the U.S. Olympic Committee, April 6, 2009, 9:40 a.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. And at that time, instructions will be given if you'd like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kevin Neuendorf. You may begin.
Thanks, Dusty. This is Kevin Neuendorf again, a member of the U.S. Olympic Committee Communications Division, and I want to welcome everyone to today's call. As we take another important step towards the 2010 Olympic Games in Vancouver, as USA Hockey has named its men's ice hockey coach. So at this time, I'll have Dave Fisher moderate today's call from USA Hockey. Dave, take it away.
Kevin, thanks very much, and an exciting day today, no doubt, as I'm sure everyone is aware that we've named Ron Wilson as the head coach for the 2010 U.S. Olympic men's ice hockey team, and Ron will also coach the U.S. men's national team at the upcoming IIHF Men's World Hockey Championship here later in April and into May. If you have not seen the announcements on the front of USAHockey.com, we've also sent it out via email. This call is being recorded as well, and we will post it on our website a little bit later today as a point of reference if you're interested in that. Our call today, we have four speakers, and once we get through them, we'll turn it back over to Dusty for a question and answer session. And again, if you have anything you need after the fact here today, best way to reach me is on my cell at 719-684-5940. 719-684-5940. Well, every successful organization, of course, needs an innovative leader at the top, someone that has a vision and passion to take it to the next level, and USA Hockey certainly has that, and its executive director in Dave Ogren. He's been an integral part of the organization over the parts of four decades, I think, as you know, and we're pleased to have Dave with us today on the call from USA Hockey headquarters in Colorado Springs. Dave, take it away.
Fish, thank you very much, and thank you to everyone who is on the call this morning. Vancouver's 10 months away. The pages of the calendar keep flipping on us, and plans have been in place and are building, obviously. This is also an exciting time in the world of hockey in the case of many, many events. Not only are we coming down the home stretch of the NHL season with teams jockeying for playoff position or a final spot in the postseason, but our national team is playing in the Women's World Championship in Finland right now, defending their gold medal. They have had two easy victories against Japan and Russia. The harder games are yet to come, and looking forward to presumably matching up again with Canada in the gold medal game at the end of the week. And then in very short order, we will be hosting the World Under 18 Championship in Dry, Fargo, North Dakota. That tournament begins at the end of next week as well. And we've got teams from around the world there and some of the best young players who are going to wear the USA jersey many, many times in the future in pursuit of a gold medal in Fargo and in Moorhead beginning on Thursday. And the Men's World Championship in Switzerland not far away. And a lot of the same management staff is going to be assembling that team and hoping that we get ourselves into medal contention over in Switzerland. But the Olympic Games is our crown jewel. I've said many times on these calls that those of us in this business often think in a four-year cycle, a four-year mindset, and we're coming up to the last lap now and the climax, which is the Games in Vancouver next February. We always want to have the very best players on our team, the best management of our team, and the best coach for our team. And I think that we have assembled certainly the management and the coach. The players will yet to be chosen, but we're very, very excited about the staff that is going to be leading us in pursuit of the Olympic Championship in Vancouver. They have done an excellent job in their evaluation of players for our national teams in recent years. They've done an excellent job in evaluating the best individual to be the coach of our Olympic team in 2010 in Vancouver. Just one other comment. We very much appreciate the support of the U.S. Olympic Committee, and we are very excited about Chicago's opportunity to host the 2016 Games in the United States. It's not a Winter Olympics, but having a Games in America is very, very important to all of the national governing bodies and all of Olympic sport in America, summer or winter, and we congratulate Chicago on the excellent several days they just had with the IOC Evaluation Commission. Fish, I'll turn it back over to you for getting a little bit closer to our main man.
All right, Dave, thanks very much. And Jim Johansson is next. Of course, Jim is the Assistant Executive Director for USA Hockey for Hockey Operations and brings to the table vast experience that spans the international landscape, certainly both as a player and an administrator. And I'm pleased to have Jim with us this morning from Minneapolis, where he's in the midst of helping the U.S. stage a pre-camp for all 10 teams prior to the upcoming World Under-18 Championship. Jim, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Dave, and thanks, everyone, for joining us. And as many have mentioned, it's certainly a pleasure to be talking about the Olympics 10 months out here, and as Dave Ogren alluded to, really the crown jewel of the international hockey scene, and certainly with the Vancouver as the host site for hockey, it'll be a fevered pitch up there, and then hockey really being front and center at on the world stage with the Olympics and the fine players and countries that represent the hockey at the Olympics. We're obviously very pleased with our announcement today, and really for USA Hockey, I think you know, a rich history of tradition with Ron, and also as we look forward in the new wave and the next generation of players, so to speak, that for USA Hockey, there's so much more depth for us now to be able to talk about the candidates for the team, but also we certainly had a lot of coaches that are capable of coaching at this level. And I think that's just a byproduct of the long work that's gone in by many people prior to all of us. And certainly the people on the call here today have been involved in that process for us as well. As we head into the Olympics, and I know Brian and Ron will speak about that further here, we're also excited about the upcoming World Championships. It's always an important event for USA Hockey. It's really been a measuring stick, if you will, for our program as a whole. And it's something that we look forward to that challenge. With the NHL races being as tight as they are, we've really only spoke to a few players so far, but we certainly think over the course of the next 10 days here, we are going to form a very formidable roster for that championship and a showcase for some guys as they try to earn a spot on the Olympic roster in Vancouver. Timeline on some things, we will start to name our coaching staff and players here at the conclusion of the NHL season, and those will come out in one release to start, and then as we add players, we will update everybody on that roster as it's built out. I think one other purpose of the with the Olympics, and many may know or not know, we will have an orientation camp this summer in Chicago. The dates, the on-ice dates are August 17, 18, and 19. And it'll be at the Seven Bridges facility in Woodbridge, Illinois, in Chicago. And as we head into that process with the players for that camp and things like that, that will all be done, obviously, at the conclusion of the NHL season and more into the summer. With that, again, I thank everybody. Very excited for USA Hockey and the Olympics in 2010, and we look forward to the great hockey upcoming year for all our teams at the international championships. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Next is Brian Burke, no doubt one of the top architects in the game today. Brian's been a member of the U.S. National Team Management Advisory Group since inception, and, of course, you know he'll serve as the general manager of the 2010 U.S. Olympic men's ice hockey team, and also today we announced that he will serve as the general manager of the 2009 U.S. men's national team that will take part in the upcoming men's world championship in Bern and Zurich, Kloten, in Switzerland. And here is Brian Burke. Burkey. Hello? Did we lose Brian? Dusty?
I'm showing Brian's line is disconnected.
Okay, we got a little problem there. We will attempt to get Brian back on the phone, but while we do that, let's move ahead to introduce Ron Wilson. And I think all of you know that no U.S. coach has the credentials that Ron brings to the table. His vast experience with Team USA really spans more than 30 years, both as a player and coach. He led, of course, the U.S. to one of its brightest moments in history, winning the inaugural World Cup of Hockey in 1996, the second winningest active coach in the NHL today, and the head coach of the 2010 U.S. Olympic men's ice hockey team, and also our U.S. men's national team that will take part in the upcoming World Championship. Here's Coach Ron Wilson.
Thanks a lot, Fish. I was actually hoping Berkey would come on and say a lot of nice things about me, but I'll have to wait for that. I'm very honored for this opportunity, obviously, and I'd like to thank first and foremost the U.S. Olympic Committee and obviously USA Hockey. My involvement with USA Hockey goes way back before it was called USA Hockey, all the way back to A House in Dayton, Ohio, back in the late 60s, 1968. We moved to Dayton, Ohio. My dad started his coaching career, and I played in the Dayton Amateur Hockey Association for a couple of years, and then we moved to Rhode Island. So thanks to USA Hockey and A House and all the volunteer coaches along the way, I've been able to have a fairly decent playing career and have turned that into a nice coaching career. I've always been available to USA Hockey. I can remember the first time playing for the national team in 1975 and meeting Art Berglund, who came around and recruited me for that 1975 World Championship team, and I had the great honor of playing for Bob Johnson. It was a great experience for me, and because of my friendship with Art and with Bob, I've been able to parlay a lot of those things into an excellent coaching career. Bob got me involved in coaching in USA Hockey. Back in the mid-80s, I would be invited to participate in under 16, 17, and 18 development camps, and eventually Bob put me on the staff of the 1989 Goodwill Games, and I really enjoyed that experience. And as I moved on in my career in the NHL as an assistant coach and eventually a head coach, I had the great opportunity of being a head coach for the first time in the 94 World Championships. And it was just a great experience at that time, and with all my other involvement with USA Hockey, I wouldn't be where I am today without the help of those gentlemen and obviously everybody involved in USA Hockey. The growth of hockey in the United States has been phenomenal, and now when you look at it, you know, we have over 350,000 kids playing hockey in the United States, over 600,000 people involved at the youth and adult levels. My God, we've got over 54,000 coaches registered, and these are numbers that are right up there with basically the world's best hockey development country, and that's Canada. When you look at the talent pool we have in the United States now, back when I started as a player, I couldn't imagine there was 20 to 30 Americans playing in the NHL. Now we're up to 150. The only country, obviously, with more players playing and participating in the NHL is Canada, with about 350, and the other countries are well represented. So as we move along here, every year, the talent pool for a coach like myself has really improved due to USA Hockey and its involvement. The national development programs had an incredible impact. We see players coming out of that program all the time, not only playing college hockey but having great careers in the NHL. So looking forward to Vancouver, I think we're going to have a young team. We're going to have an aggressive team. We want to play an attacking style. This year, that's what I've tried to kind of incorporate here in Toronto with a very young team and an inexperienced team, and we've had a little bit of success playing that way, and I'd like to continue that. Going to the World Championships this year will be my third time involved. I'm in particularly a great mood for that because of my involvement in Switzerland. I played almost 7 years in Switzerland. And going over there is going to be, for me, a great kind of homecoming, seeing some old friends over there, but more importantly, reacquainting myself with European hockey, and it's going to be a real challenge for us to go from playing on an NHL-size ice surface to an Olympic-size surface over there. So we're going to need all the help we can get. I know all our players, the ones that I've spoken to in the brief little period I knew that I would be a part of this group going over to Switzerland, are very excited. I think the motivation is totally different now than it was in the early 90s. Everybody wants to participate due to the involvement of all the great people with USA Hockey, the staff that we have is second to none in any country in the world, starting with Berkey, obviously, David Poile, Donnie Waddell, Ray Shiro, Paul Holmgren, Dean Lombardi. These are all great general managers with a ton of experience, even at the international level. We're led by a great guy in Jimmy Johansson, who I've had the enjoyment of working with in the past. So I'm really looking forward to this. The Olympic Games, and in particular in Vancouver, are going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, there's going to be a tremendous challenge going right into Canada, and obviously I think the gold medal runs right through Canada. They're going to be the favorites, but we've never been, I think, intimidated by playing in Canada with Team USA. You go back to 96, we had to win two games in Montreal, and that ranks right up there in my career in terms of having fun with a group of people and meeting that type of a challenge. Playing in on an NHL-size ice surface is going to be certainly advantageous to both Canada and the United States, and we'll build a team that's going to be very competitive, again, attacking. But we have to be physical. We have to be able to meet adversity head-on and keep on going. It's going to be a very tough environment to win in Vancouver, but I'm confident that our players are going to be up to it, and the management and coaching staff will be equally up to it as well. Again, I'd like to thank USA Hockey for asking me again, and I'm really looking forward to this challenge.
Thanks very much, Ron. And Dusty, do we have Brian back on the line by chance?
Yes, I'm back on.
Oh, Berkey, Ron was hoping you'd say some nice things about him.
Well, first off, I apologize, folks. I am sitting in one place but lost the call somehow. I am on cell. I'm in Boston, Massachusetts today, and I'm going to speak at Harvard Law School in an hour. So I'm sitting on a side street in Cambridge. I wanted to make sure I wasn't moving around when the call came in, and I still lost it. So today for me, two announcements from our perspective. One is that, as Fish mentioned, that I will be serving as general manager of the national team in the World Championships, that Ron will coach that team as the head coach and the U.S. Olympic team in 2010. And I want to go through the process. First, congratulate Ron and welcome him on board. Obviously, Ron just mentioned the committee. There's five general managers that put together this team, the U.S. national team and the Olympic team. And they are myself, Paul Holmgren, Ray Shiro, Donnie Waddell, and the associate general manager of the team, David Poile, who I've been friends with David for a long, long time. I have a great deal of respect for him. Dean Lombardi has also assisted us, and JJ also. So that group was charged with putting this team together. And in the process of talking about coaching candidates for Vancouver for 2010, it kept coming back to, why don't we try to have a unified program here? Why don't we have the same head coach? If it's a guy we want and he's available, let's try and have the same head coach in Switzerland that we have in Vancouver. And Ronnie and I have been friends and teammates going back 30-plus years, and there will be people who say, isn't this convenient that Berkey picked his best buddy? I will tell you that when we talked about the head coaching job for Switzerland and for Vancouver, I did not weigh in until the rest of the committee had done so. But I think we'd be fools to pass on Ron Wilson just because he's a buddy of mine, which he is. He's also, we feel, the best coach to give us the best chance for success in Switzerland and in Vancouver. We looked at other coaches. USA Hockey has done a marvelous job developing players. They've also developed coaches. And two guys that were very, you know, that received great consideration should be mentioned. Peter Laviolette, who has answered the bell for us before, John Tortorella, both guys that were considered and may still be involved in the Olympics with the Olympic team in some capacity, but the group felt strongly and unanimously that Ron Wilson was the guy that that we should have. I echo some of the things that Ronnie said about USA Hockey. I want to mention the job that USA Hockey has done expanding and growing this game, developing players, providing tools to people to become better players, better coaches, better officials, is remarkable. And we intend to field a competitive team. We're going there to win in Vancouver. I've made no bones about that. That's what we're going there to do. Like Ronnie said, we understand how difficult the job is going to be. The Canadian team is going to be a favorite. The Soviet team, the Russian team is going to be a
a wonderful team, Finn, Swedes. We understand the odds. We understand that we'll probably be the youngest team in the field. We understand that there won't be a whole lot of people pulling for us in that marketplace, and there won't be a lot of people that think we can do this, but we think we can. And I want to welcome Ron and congratulate him today. And as I said, when USA Hockey first approached me about working with the national team back in 93, and Art Bergman asked me if I'd be interested, I said at the time that I would fold towel to be involved with USA Hockey. So I'm very proud to be named the general manager today of the national team for 09. Thanks.
All right, thanks, sir. Thanks a lot, Brian. And just one note to the media before we turn it back to Dusty. Within the next 4 or 5 weeks, we will send out all the information to you in regard to the Olympic orientation camp this summer in Chicago. We do have some hotel space reserved at a couple different Marriotts for the media, and we'll send out the information on that again here in the next 4 or 5 weeks. Let's turn it back over to Dusty now, and he'll take us through the question and answer portion of today's media teleconference. Dusty?
All right. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. Once again, that's the star key followed by the one key. And our first question comes from Craig Customs with the Sporting News.
Ron, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, Brian has mentioned that this will be a considerably younger U.S. team. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on kind of where some of the older players that are still associated with the U.S., where you see them kind of fitting in with your team.
Well, that's difficult for me to answer right now because I haven't really gone over the list of potential Olympic candidates. I think later this week we're going to start discussing that, or at least where I become involved. But obviously, I think when you look around the NHL now, there's a new generation of American players. I'm assuming in a lot of ways you're talking about a lot of the guys that I was involved with in 96, and it's remarkable that we still have a number of those guys playing pretty well in the NHL, but there always comes a time when you've got to turn the page, and a young team playing with enthusiasm coming in, I think, is the best way for us to be successful in a place like Vancouver. A lot of these younger people have been involved in all kinds of world championships, be it the junior level or even, for example, the last couple of years in the world championships. And I think it's their time to shine.
Craig, if I may, it's Berkey.
Yeah.
We have not ruled out, in the course of our deliberations, we haven't drawn any lines or ruled out inviting anyone. We've talked about a couple of the guys that have answered the bell for us over the years that are still playing and playing well, like Keith Tkachuk, Mike McDonnell, Billy Guerin's playing well. We haven't ruled out anybody. But last year in Halifax, that was the first time in the World Championships and in Quebec City. That's the first time we took a team into battle without those great warriors that have represented USA Hockey so well and so valiantly. And that this may be the first national team in Switzerland or the first Olympic team in a long, long time without one of those guys on it, but we haven't made that determination yet.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ira Podell with Associated Press.
I have one question for Brian and one for Ron. Brian, first for you. You mentioned that Peter Laviolette and John Tortorella were also candidates. How much of a factor was Peter wanting you getting a change from the last Olympics, going with Ron over Peter? And also, was it important to have somebody to coach the national team next month and John Tortorella may be involved in the playoffs, so he couldn't do that then?
No, we would not. We were going to pick the best coach for Vancouver. If it had been a coach who was involved in the playoffs and was not available, we still would have gone that way if that was the decision we were going to make. But we felt this is a nice dovetail here with Ronnie being available for both teams. But, no, I want that clear. If I didn't make it clear, those guys were considered standalone candidates, not available for both. We're going to pick the best coach, and we picked Ron Wilson.
Okay, and for Ron, how much of your experience from the 98 Olympics will you take it to the next one that, well, you know, the disappointment off the ice and on anything that you might want to do different this time?
Well, I think what we've learned from that experience in Nagano, both ourselves and Canada, was that we needed to get our team together in the summertime. The lack of preparation going into the Nagano Olympics, we basically assembled ourselves, got on a plane, flew over, had one practice, and unfortunately never really came together as a team. And I personally, as a coach, am very much into team building and into preparation. And I think that experience, whether it be on the ice or off the ice, led to a much better procedure, both for us and for Canada. Because, I mean, we had some off-ice issues, but they paled in comparison to how we played on the ice in the sense that we never really got our game going. We never really played like a team, at least in my estimation. And in the last couple of Olympics, because of the team building and establishing a sort of order in the summertime, has led to much better performances in the Olympics, both for us and for Canada. And that's what I'm really looking forward to, the week or so we spend with the players in Chicago in the summertime. It's going to go a long way to helping us become a better team.
And just to follow up quickly on that, outside of that prep time, is there differences between coaching the Olympic team and coaching in a World Cup or a World Championship?
Well, again, preparation. You know, my earlier experiences in World Championships, we'd essentially assemble, practice once or twice, and play without an exhibition game. But that's in 94 and 96. The World Cup, usually you have almost a 10-day to 2-week training camp where you play a number of exhibition games. The Olympics, the work we do this summer, and the contact we have with various players during next season is going to go a long way to us being successful. But it also helps that, and I think Canada would feel the same way, that the games are being held on a North American rink in North America, where we don't have to worry about assembling a team, traveling, and trying to put a group together under the pressure of being successful at the Olympics. It's much easier to do when you're playing in North America.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Greg Logan with Newsday.
Hi, Brian. You mentioned earlier that you're looking to the next generation of American players, and that experience with the national teams would be important. Are you talking about kids as young as, you know, I cover the Islanders, kids as young as a Kyle Oposo, who was just playing World Juniors a little more than a year ago, and does the fact that, you know, he plays in an aggressive style, would that help somebody like him?
Yes, we are talking players in that age group, and I think everyone on the call knows how I build my teams. I like some size on my teams, and I like a team that can play any style and survive and do well. And Kyle Okposo is very much alive as a candidate for this team to go to Switzerland and also beyond that. One thing our committee is, we said right from the get-go, is we're not going to exclude anybody because they're too old or too young. And what's important is that each player be able to do a job. You know, there's different ways you can put your teams together. You can take the 20 best guys and hope that they can adapt to jobs, or you can take guys that are good at certain things. And I'm more of the latter. I like to find people who are good at certain things and give them specific tasks.
And one last thing, do you feel that youth can compensate for any experience gap, particularly with teams like Canada and Russia?
Well, we're going to take the best group, and if we play a system, if Ronnie gets the group together and we play our system and execute, we think we can compete with any country on the planet. You know, the U.S. has had success in international hockey. The number of successes has grown. You know, World Junior Championship, which was inconceivable 20 or 30 years ago, in our back pocket. Success with different national teams. Lake Placid, you know, you go you go back and, you know, we're very proud of USA Hockey and A-House before that, our showing, and we think whatever team we take, we think we can be competitive, and like I said, we're going to win.
Thanks very much.
Our next question comes from Greg Wyshynski, Yahoo Sports.
Thanks for your time today, boys. Quick question for Brian. Since you brought up Peter Laviolette and John Tortorella, I was wondering if there'd be a way to maybe contrast what they would have brought to the team versus what Ron brings to the team in the sense of his selection.
I think it's a fair question, but I think today should be about Ron and not about other candidates and what they did well or didn't do well. So I'd happily answer that after the call. So you can call me back on my cell.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Scott Burnside with ESPN.com.
Hi, I have a question for both Ron and Brian, if I can. Ron, it'll be about 23 and a half years between the World Cup of Hockey in 96 and Vancouver. How have you changed as a coach, and what lessons, especially at the international level, do you think you've learned in terms of preparing for this kind of event, especially given that it's going to be in Canada?
Well, Scott, I think it's 13 years, isn't it? Or 14 years? Not 24 years? Holy cow.
Yeah,
I haven't been around that long, although it feels it sometimes.
It feels that, yeah. Forgive my math.
Yeah, no. Every experience makes you a better coach. Whether you're talking the World Cup, Olympics, what you did well, what you could have done better, and situations like that. And that's the value of experience. And the value of being in that kind of under that kind of microscope. And just for example, right now coaching in Toronto is for me a great learning experience because of the magnitude of pressure that comes with coaching in this environment. Everybody pays attention to everything you say. The importance of it, and being able to function in that kind of environment, I think, is huge. And sometimes it's difficult the first time you go through some of these situations to not make mistakes or to focus on the wrong things. And I think all the experiences that I've had in the NHL, playing and coaching in the NHL, playing in Europe, both on national teams and on club teams, my involvement in the Olympics in the past, the World Championships, it all adds up that you build up a much thicker skin. You know what you have to focus on, and more importantly, you know what you have to focus on specifically for the players so that they're ready. It's the players' tournament, and the job of the coach is to try and create an environment where each player can bring his best at any given moment, and in particular when the pressure's on. And we're going to be facing, obviously, a great amount of scrutiny once those games start. The players will be feeling pressure to perform, and my job's going to be to try and create, along with my other assistant coaches and the management staff, an atmosphere where they feel sheltered and they can play at their best.
Thank you. Brian, you talk about, you know, not excluding anyone because of age, either being too old or too young, and Ron just talked about the pressure that will be enormous in Vancouver. How do you try and balance that and then throw in maybe some, I don't know whether political pressure is the right term or not, but to reward players or to honor players who've committed a lot of time to USA Hockey teams? I mean, how do you balance that in trying to find the mix of team and personality that you want on the ice in Vancouver?
And that's the part of it, Scotty, that's the hard part. That's the what we've done, you know, to give you an idea of the process here. Our committee has met in person a couple times. We do regular conference calls. We put together a rating system. Every night when anyone on the committee watches a game, they file a report on all the American players. So we've got a database. We're all using the same scouting system, which, of course, we use different ones with our teams. And we're trying to identify the best group of athletes to give us the best chance to win. And the balancing of the age and the jobs available and what they need to do, that's an ongoing process. That's a debate. would a Kyle Okposo, if he's asked to go to Switzerland, will we have a better, you know, sense of what he can do if he goes? So that's the hard part. Is what you just said is the million-dollar question. Can you put together the 23 guys that can get the job done? And you balance the skill sets, you balance the maturity levels, the leadership skills. Those are all the things, and that's our job in the next 10 months.
Just a brief follow-up. And I assume this is the kind of discussion, debate, that maybe USA Hockey's never had before when putting together a team like this for this kind of event.
I will tell you, we say this stuff, and I think it sounds, you know, like you're patronizing or you're sucking up to Dave Ogren or something, but the job that USA Hockey has done in growing this game and getting kids to play and developing elite players is phenomenal. It's remarkable. Whatever adjective you want to use, it's amazing. Because to me, you're right. We're going to have hard decisions, and that's a lovely problem to have. It's not going to be the 20 Warriors. It's not going to be the same group where these guys all knew what number they were going to wear going into camp. You know, they're like, well, I'm on this team. There is more competition, which is a good thing. And we respect those Warriors, and you'll never hear me speak of them with anything but respect and reverence. But we're going to turn a page, too. If we decide that the best group to go will not involve any of those players, that's what we're going to do. I will single out one guy. I think, you know, you can make an argument that Chris Chelios has been the greatest Warrior to ever wear the red, white, and blue. And I have asked him to be involved in some capacity, a non-playing capacity, and we got to sort out what that is. Is it, you know, a team advisor or something? But, you know, we do want to acknowledge that group of Warriors.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. And there are no more questions at this time.
All right. Very good, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today. And thanks to our speakers. Again, any needs you have, you can reach me via my mobile, 719-684-5940. Have a great day.
Thanks, Fish.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.